D-Maze Finnegan and Donick 102.5 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Darnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. Pleased to be joined an hour earlier than normal by Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. And Hutton, we were just talking about Cam Ward's performance against the Arizona Cardinals.
Yep.
And I wondered if I acknowledge that I am not a football expert, but I see Dan Orlovsky and Chase Daniel and other former quarterbacks who grind the tape talking about how great Cam Ward's performance was, not just in the fourth quarter against the Cardinals, but throughout the game. And, you know, there were some drops and some other stuff. So what are you seeing when you watch Cam Ward? Because we can all agree his performance in the fourth quarter on Sunday was electric. But we can't ignore the fact that he was completing, what, a third of his passes through the first three quarters of that game?
Exactly. Exactly.
So where are you on all of this?
Well, let's start with all the analysts. Where were these analysts during the draft when everyone was talking about Shedeur Sanders? That's number one. Orlovsky's a great guy. He's a friend of the show. He's phenomenal. But I don't think he's watching every snap. But look, this is a Titans team that was outscored by 69 points this season. They were outgained by 632 yards going into that game. They trailed 21-3. This was, I don't know how much of the Titans viewing audience turned the game off. I know my parents did. They got home from church and were shocked that the Titans had won that game. They made the score, 21-6? Mm-hmm. And then the defense allowed 43 yards over the next five possessions. And then Cam Ward stepped up and made plays. He answered the call when the Cardinals tried to give the game away, and ultimately did. That he's to be commended for that. But I when you say what do I see from Cam Ward? I've seen a lot of just average to below average play, and a great fourth quarter. And now we get to see if this sparks something or not, because in a rookie season, it's going to have a ton of ups and downs, and now we get to witness whether or not he can ride this wave into more consistent football against a Raiders team that will also turn the football over. They turn the football over 18% of the time on possessions. That's 31st in the league. The Titans will be able to get the ball back for their offense this week.
Well, let's hope so, because they're going to need as many chances as they possibly
can.
No doubt. Because, I mean, listen, the offense has been up and down, more down and up. I just think that whole game was indicative of how their season has been
going. Mace,
a lot.
Mace.
Yes.
You know, the other thing, too, the receivers were dropping passes prior to that quarter.
Yeah.
You know, like the kickers were you know, Sly's missing kicks. Like nothing was really going right at all until going into halftime. Ward had completed 15 of his last 44 pass attempts. And then coming out, he finishes the game 16 of 23. You know, like that's crazy to think about, but they answered when they needed to, and they somehow leave that game with the win. As a player, I'm just curious, Mace, like your take on that. What's the feeling like when you get a win and you've been as down as they are and it came that way?
A win is a win. Ultimately, you want to clean up something. It's almost like as if there was this hangover from the bad loss they had the previous week, and it sort of filtered into this game.
Yeah.
And because of the fumble, that sort of sparked everything, and then they sort of woke up and decided, okay, we're not playing the Houston Texans anymore. We need to start playing. But listen, Cam Ward, you know, he's having a rookie season. I believe he is.
Sure.
But I think more importantly than that, the more help he gets, I think the better he will become. I think we saw him in an ideal situation in the fourth quarter where guys started to do their job around him. He's been doing his job for the most part, but those around him aren't doing their job. I think it's like tug of war. If I'm doing my job in the back and y'all ain't doing y'all job up front, we losing. But if y'all start to do y'all job, then okay, we got something going here. But beside that, because my question, what I would like to hear from you is, how do you think Brian Callahan, because I think, I do believe.
Great question.
That,
I'm glad you're asking.
I do believe that Cam Ward, eventually I think he's going to be all right. Either they choose to fire, you know, Brian or not, Callahan or not. But I think it's Callahan. He has to show that, because he, I don't think he'd get another chance at calling plays in this league for a good while. But if he can show he can manage this as a head coach, then I think his job is secure. What do you think of how this weekend transpired? And I know, man, we can go to the first half. I get that. But as a coach, how do you look at it?
Man, I still view it as it's an uphill climb for him, Mace. Okay. It's one quarter. Look, he has a week where he feels a bit relieved and he gets to answer different questions, right? The entire staff does. That's great. You know, they deserve to celebrate the win this past weekend, and they have a chance to stack another on top. Realistically, they should be 2-2 given the fact the way Denver played in week one. Mm-hmm. But that's not me saying they're a good football team. You mentioned guys stepped up. They absolutely did. As you're saying that, though, I'm thinking they stepped up and played roles that they're really not going to reach, in my honest opinion. Mm-hmm. They're not. Calvin Ridley's not a number one receiver, right? Like, he was on Sunday. Mm-hmm. In the fourth quarter, he was a number one receiver. He put up those stats. I don't see that out of Calvin Ridley on a routine basis. Not the Justin Jefferson eye-popping numbers. I'm just talking like the consistent play. Where's this guy been? Like, it's time. He's not going to be that guy. We know who Calvin Ridley is. It's not about the paycheck. It's about who you are. So how many times is he going to reach that bar? How many times is Dan Moore? Or when are we going to see J.C. Latham back, which could be this week? How consistent are those guys going to be? The top-end guys for this roster going to be for Brian Callahan? And also, like, if play calling wise, I want to see things get built on top of what we saw in the fourth quarter more than the mundane that has not been working. Mm-hmm. They're relying on a lot of young guys. Nothing's really changed to me other than when the number one pick threw the ball like the number one pick in the fourth quarter and Calvin Ridley came alive. Okonkwo. We know who Jigga Okonkwo is. He made a great move that got a first down, though. Where's that guy? I just don't think they're going to be that consistent to save Callahan's job when I view it from just trying to project.
Okay.
But what this win can do, well, it allows them to go on the West Coast again and actually prove that they can put something together more than a quarter of play and score the football. That's the thing, is they won the game. The way they won it with the guy fumbling, they had to go drive the football, and they did. But, man, they had a lot of help. And the offense has to go and help out the team too. And maybe we see that. Maybe we don't. But it's an interesting stretch with the Raiders, which is a gettable game. It's a gettable game. Geno Smith's not playing well at all. And then you have Vrabel and the Patriots coming to town.
I don't know if there's anything new on Brock Bowers today, but it looks like he will not play this week.
They're, I believe, him Pete week Carroll to week. Said week to week. Yep.
Yeah. So week to week could mean a lot of things. Yeah, the PCL. But they're basically trying to encourage him to take a load off for a while. It's the only way it's going to get better. Even if he has played, he has not played well. Those of us that have him on their fantasy team, hello, that's me. He's done nothing this year since he hurt that knee. He hasn't done anything. So this is a good time to catch the Raiders, perhaps. We'll see.
And Genty, 62% of the touchdowns that the Titans have allowed defensively of the 10 of 16 have been to running backs. So rushing. So, they've got to – that's where it starts with this. And again, Geno Smith, he has a turnover rate that's higher – this is according to Pro Football Focus – higher than what we're seeing right now from J.J. McCarthy or even Jake Browning, if you can believe that. I did a double take when I saw that he's not playing great. And, Tennessee's got to go and take advantage of that. And when the offense gets the ball back – they need to have a pulse more so than just some big plays, explosive plays in the fourth quarter. That was a horrendous game going. And all of a sudden they woke up, they made the plays, and I commend Cam Ward for doing that, but also the players around him. They came off whenever we saw the fumble through the end zone for the touchback, that. There was life on the sideline. I'd like to see that, because there was no reason to have much hope there. Now, optimism with the way that game was going, they came out and they were ready to go. That's a good sign for a team that's not that good.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow is with us. Let's switch our attention to the college game here.
Okay.
Hutton, tell me what you synopsized the Vanderbilt-Alabama game as. Like, so what's,
I thought about
what,
you.
What
I
was
thought
the
about
theme?
You in the second half, Willie.
Give me the theme, because I had a feeling that I didn't think I would ever have after a game, which was I was disappointed that Vanderbilt didn't at least have a chance to win the game at the end, but because they hurt themselves.
I don't feel – so in terms of Pavia, that's because, again, that's the storyline, is the turnovers there, right? Man, they came out – they had a great plan. And I the poise and the execution and the focus to ignore the noise and to just go through – I mean, during warm-ups, I'm trying to put myself in a visiting team's or player's shoes or cleats – trying to like not get overwhelmed with some of the moments of being ranked where they are and all this stuff and the hype of being on ABC. I thought that they Clark Lee has that team always ready to play. I love that. What correct me if you guys disagree, let me know. The fumble to me, man, that is a matter of a split second on a play. A great play by the defense.
Yes.
But man, I don't view that as egregious as like, oh, Pavia's just had an awful performance there on that play. He didn't come up with the big moment. Hanging on to the football, yes, but those plays do happen. I agree with Clark Lee there. I think, again, the coaching staff, they were ready to go too. Vanderbilt went toe-to-toe with Alabama, and for the second year in a row, it doesn't feel like a fluke. Up on the trenches, I love what I'm seeing there in the play. They're definitely improved there, which is why I think we're seeing them step up in the SEC. But, you know, the big takeaway is moving forward, Pavia's going to get banged up. He's taking as many hits as he does. And that's really what happened toward the backstretch of last year. Can they maneuver the offense or throw some different things in that will allow him to feel a bit better when November rolls around and they need a win to be in contention at the, you know, middle pack of the top 25? I think that they can actually do that. It's a tough schedule, but, I mean – We know what people think about Alabama right now, and kudos to what we saw from Ty Simpson. I mean, second week in a row where he stepped up to the plate too. But Pavia didn't play great, but I didn't think he was awful in the moment either.
Does a Tennessee fan sit there and watch that game and say, okay, we could take both of these teams?
They do. Oh, okay, that's a great question.
By the way, there was a huge audience for that game. What we 6.5 million people saw that game, which I'm sure a big chunk was Tennessee people kind of gauging. I would think you're never going to convince a Tennessee fan that they're not supposed to beat Vanderbilt. I get that part.
That's right.
But the Alabama part of it, Tennessee's got to be – that's such an important crown jewel that's gettable for Tennessee, because they don't have a lot of other featured games, right?
No, they don't. I think to myself a lot of Tennessee fans probably watch the game, and in the moment, they're thinking both of these teams are gettable. As the game's near, probably they're much nervous, much more nervous. Like if I ask Withrow about the games right now, he would tell you last year Vols fans were nervous about the Vanderbilt game. This year, he's already said that he expects Tennessee to win because they're playing at home, right? Like, so that's the gauge right now. The Bama game is interesting just because Josh Heupel has had really good success against Bama compared to Georgia. I think that's the optimism going into that game. But, man, Ty Simpson's daily, man. He's not really being talked about on the level I expected coming out of the game against Vandy on the national scale. He's like third in the odds in Heisman. But he can take over that. Bama has a stretch now. They got what, Missouri? Around the corner is Tennessee, back to back weeks.
Yeah, Missouri on the road. LSU, that's not easy.
LSU after that, followed by, of course, we know they play Auburn. There's another game thrown in there too that I'm, of course, not pulling off the top of my head. It's a gauntlet schedule, and they've already played Georgia. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's. It depends on how you look at Bama. Are you looking at them as the team that lost to FSU or the team that we're seeing right now? I think we're seeing a quarterback that's taking over.
All right, quickly.
Yep.
What's next for Arch Manning? Where does it go from here? Because every week it goes by, you're like, what's the deal?
I mean, what's next is probably, I mean, it's really bad. So quickly, I'll say, what's next is, does Sarkisian have it in him to bench him?
Wow.
That's fascinating.
Ooh, you think they would even contemplate that?
You have.
Well, I mean, they're about to play Oklahoma. And we'll find out if Mateer's back by the time they play that. Watch out. I mean, it's been bad. Do I think they contemplate how much leeway does this have for Sark? Because they've got a team that can win. He's not getting much help around him. They can't run the football. I'm not saying it's all on Arch, but it's not like the hype has even come close to meeting expectation on the field for him. And now that the heat has turned up on him through headlines and all kinds of stuff, is he a miserable failure or whatever the headline was for the New York Times? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But do I see a quarterback that was deserving of anything as much as everyone talked about him? No. So what's next is an uphill climb. But I mean, the name on his jersey tells me that he's got the fortitude to ignore the noise a bit. But in this day and age, it's different with social media and things like that.
Hutton, I got two more quick questions for you. A bit of a lightning round before we let you go.
All right, go ahead.
Keeping it on college football, Ollie Connolly, who runs the Read Optional Substack newsletter,
right,
tweeted within the past hour that Bill Belichick has discussed buyout options with North Carolina's hierarchy. Belichick has signaled a willingness to trigger his own $1 million buyout if he can find a soft landing with another team or in media. It's a really I think it's entertaining because, you know, I love chaos in North Carolina, but it's an interesting thread nonetheless. The end. From one UNC defensive assistant, quote, "What we've done to these kids is effed up." But he didn't say effed, end quote. Assuming this goes where Ollie Connolly says it's going, and I think those of us watching from afar assume it's going this way as well.
Yep.
Where will this rank among the biggest unforced errors in terms of coaching hires in college football history?
Okay, so this deserves a longer answer because
I'll let you North go Carolina- for it.
Well, I know you got. Oh, well, you don't have underdog picks coming up.
We do.
We do. Yes.
Oh, you do. Okay, I'll be brief then, and let's table this because this is fascinating to me. North Carolina did this because they were trying to create the Deion effect. They have 28 Division I programs in their athletic department that they have to pay for. Florida State has 18. Clemson has like 21. Miami has 17. Like, so if you're trying to make budget, and that we know there's an academic and athletic area at UNC that does not see eye to eye. They went for this. Bubba Cunningham, I'm not so sure, was all in on this. The buyout is Steve Belichick the coach in waiting? Ollie Connolly was also the one that came closest to reporting that was in the 400-page Bible that he had demands that everything had to be met. However, there's also a report from a guy that it's not the OG report. I apologize for not knowing it off the top of my head. We talked about this on the show today. He talked to Bubba Cunningham through text, and Cunningham said that there was nothing that was signed as far as a coach in waiting at that time. This was back in June. So are you, if you have the buyout, are you just going to another Belichick? Or are you actually getting the chance to – go get something that's more settled and firm and in a direction that you want to take the program? They're going to cut programs is ultimately what I'm saying. They have 28 programs. They have Olympic sports, and they're trying. They did this trying to hit gold. Hulu's already dropped them before they even aired. No one wants to watch them right now on TV.
I do.
Hulu doesn't want to stream them.
I said yesterday that I would pay $100 for this footage, and I would watch it.
Oh, gosh. I mean, it's so – like, sometimes a train wreck, they'll put that on. Like, the Keeping Up with the Kardashians was on TV, so it was Flavor of Love.
Hey, don't knock Flavor of Love.
No. I'm not. I'm just saying, like, it was so bad, it was good.
Yes.
This must be so bad that it's just, it's, just awful because of what there are not – you know they have final say on the cut, and who knows what they were keeping out of the footage.
I was more a fan of I Love New York, the I Flavor of Love spinoff.
Oh, gosh,
myself.
I forgot about that.
Yes. Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow has been our guest on D-Maze, Vingan, and Donick, joining us a little bit earlier today, but usually joins us on Wednesdays at 5 o'clock. Hutton, great stuff as always, my friend. We'll catch up next week.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Withrow and I just went and saw one battle after another with DiCaprio and crew. It was very good. Some people have been bashing it. We liked it.
Okay, good to know.
A little long.
I'll put it on my list. Thanks, Hutton.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it.
615-737-1025. It's time for Silly Underdog Picks. A little bit earlier today because we are off at 5, but we will get to Silly Underdog Picks Week 7 coming up next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. We are presented by Bax Homeworks, which transforms kitchens, bathrooms, and living spaces into places you can't wait to come home to. Get a free estimate at baxhomeworks.com. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. It's a little bit earlier than usual, but it is time for Silly Underdog Picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Without any further ado, the commissioner, Willie Donick. Willie! Oh, Willie D! Willie D! Ooh, oh, 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 Willie!
Oh, Willie D! Willie D! Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome on a Hockey Eve edition of Silly Underdog Picks 2025. Actually, hockey season opened yesterday, but it's Hockey Eve here in Smashville. Silly Underdog Picks is brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Boom. The competition continues to roll. It's unfolding week by week. We have played 6 weeks of competition, and the standings are tight, except for the defending champion, who is on the struggle bus, which we will get to in a moment. Chris Sanders on the practice field right now, so he cannot defend himself. Mm-hmm. He has submitted his picks to David James, which we will have momentarily. So let's welcome our contestants. As always, you've got D-Mace, you've got Adam, and joining us on Smashville Hockey Eve, Skillsy himself, the original mass hole. Hal Gill, ladies and gentlemen.
What did you say?
Can you say that?
I said masshole.
I'm like contemplating. He takes that as a compliment or not?
That's a compliment. It's a compliment.
A masshole.
Yeah.
And as ironic as it sounds, I take a lot of pride in that.
Oh, okay.
I take a lot of pride.
I thought you said the other word. We say that like that?
Hal Gill coming to you live from a Dunkin' Donut somewhere at the moment.
Oh, man.
Get your vanilla nut taps.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm a masshole and I'm proud of it.
How's the vibe on Hockey Eve here?
I went out to practice today, watched the boys. They're buzzing. I feel like they're dialed in. I'm really hoping for a big year. And so it's hard to talk about football. I mean, obviously, it's always about football in the fall, but it's hockey season, and I'm excited about it.
Okay, so he's going to try to ride that wave to success here in the Underdog Picks. So let's go over what happened last week. And we're going to start with Hal Gill. As we review, he had the first pick, and he went with the pick that the people wanted. It's what I shouldn't say all the people. I shouldn't, because there are some Alabama fans in the house. He went with Vanderbilt, a 10.5-point dog at Alabama, an enormous audience. What, 6.5 million viewers nationwide? Hal and I were watching together. He watched me pace up and down the Lexus Lounge. He saw me pound the table a couple of times. And Hal tried to stay cool, calm, and collected. Vanderbilt had the great start. Led 14-7 late in the first half, but Bama turned up the heat, controlled the line of scrimmage in the second half. Vanderbilt, a couple of huge miscues in the red zone. Bama, the oh-by-the-way touchdown at the end to seal off a 30-14 victory. Hal, your thoughts?
It's we're one or two plays away from that. Frustrating part about this underdog thing is right there, ease you, and you're like, you got it, and then it the carpet gets pulled out from underneath you, and you're lying on your back going, what happened? And that's the way I felt. And Willie, it was a joy to watch that with you and to go through that with you, but I wish we were on the other end. A great effort from Vandy, by the way. I think they have it. It's right there. It just wasn't there the other night. It's a new week.
Adam Vingan, he had some heartache of his own. He selected Maryland, a 6.5-point home dog. He looked at it. He was like, Maryland's playing good ball. Washington's got to travel. And everything looked hunky-dory in the first two quarters. Adam, what was the score at halftime of this game?
Was it I know it was 20-0 in the third quarter. Was it 13-0 at halftime? I can't remember the halftime score.
Okay, well, I thought it was 20-0 at half, but it was 20-0 Terps. Correct. Most importantly, at one point in the second half, it was still 20-0.
And sure, it sure was.
Goodness gracious! And the final score: Washington rallies. It beats Maryland 24-0. No points for a cover in silly underdog picks. Adam, the heartache.
So this may come as a shock to some of you, but there was a time in my young life where I detested the University of Maryland more than the University of North Carolina.
Wow.
Duke and Maryland had some bitter battles in the early 2000s.
There are some words about J.J. Redick, you know, there, said by that, Maryland fans.
That happened, absolutely. So this is what I get for believing in the Maryland Terrapins. It will never happen again.
And this time I mean it.
Yes. You know what? Maryland is
Doggone
playing.
It.
I think Maryland is playing Nebraska. They, I was like,
they are on the board again this week.
And I was like, huh. And then I was like, hell no. So that will not be my pick.
So the rest of the panel can take note. Adam will not be picking Maryland as a dog this week.
He's just trying to throw people off.
Because remember, Maryland got a victory for one Derek Mason.
At Wisconsin. Yeah,
exactly.
Just
Absolutely.
A couple of weeks ago.
Absolutely.
Pick number three belonged to Chris Sanders, and he just tried to take a dig at his former Titan teammate, fellow wide receiver. Man. And he selected Derek Mason's Michigan State Spartans, yes. An 11.5-point dog on the road at Nebraska, just so Derek Mason would have to root for Chris. And the strategy did not work on either front. Michigan State lost, but Chris did lose, so I guess you had a little consolation
in
that.
It was sort of a silver lining in it all.
Bittersweet.
Yeah, more bitter than sweet, but yeah.
But I mean, Chris is now 0-6.
Yeah,
so.
Yes. He's in the Ofa Club.
38-27 was the final, so Chris Sanders tallying up his score. He came into the week with 0 points. He picks up 0 from Michigan State. So
which
his
means
total
he
on
still
the season.
Has what?
0.
Hey, Willie, has there ever been a contestant that didn't win it?
That's a good question.
For the whole season?
Yeah, for the whole season.
A goose egg for the whole season?
Yeah, for the whole season.
I don't believe it's happened.
I hope it happens.
Perfection.
This year. I hope it
but
happens.
But he's working. Year. It's a lot of football to be played.
Yes.
We got a long way to go, but he's working on perfection right now. That brings us to D-Mace, who is flexing right now. He selected Virginia, 6.5-point dog, coming off of their dramatic win Friday night win against the Seminoles. They were a 6.5-point dog at Louisville, and sure enough, overtime again for the Cavaliers. The cardiac Cavaliers, and they pulled it out 30-27. D-Mace now 3-3, and he widens the gap in the competition.
Yeah, you know, a part of me wanted to pick UCLA. Scared money don't win, so I didn't win. But I was thinking, no, they
you
got to
be happy with the win. Now you're going to say, well, I almost picked UCLA.
No, because I expected to win,
Willie.
You weren't
going to pick UCLA.
Yes, I was. I was expecting to win,
I
Willie.
Didn't hear anything about that
Chris,
last week.
If Chris Mason
didn't, write
call
anything
in,
like that
I would have picked UCLA.
Hey, Willie, I was thinking it.
I didn't make a note. Derek was thinking, I can't read your mind. Either you pick him or you don't. Be happy with your win against Virginia. Goodness.
Oh, the commission's now turning on me now?
Well,
oh,
now
wow.
You're just rubbing it into the rest of the competition. I'm not going to have you embarrass the panel.
Hold
like
on.
This.
The commissioner has never been worried about people rubbing it in.
I can't control
them. Said a I can't lot control of things.
All right, yes.
So here are the standings after 6 weeks. D-Mace is red hot. He's got 32. Adam Vingan, 18 in second place. 14 back. Hal Gill, 17.5. Chris Sanders, 0.0. Which brings us to week 7. The first pick will belong to Adam Vingan.
Before we get there, I just want to let all of the listeners know, because they need to be ready for the people's pick in a little bit. If you pick correctly and you represent the people, you will win a pair of tickets to see Bryan Adams and Pat Benatar at Bridgestone Arena on Friday, November 7th. So wait for the cue to call. If you want a chance to win those tickets to see Bryan Adams and Pat Benatar next month, listen for the cue to call to represent the people.
That's a good show right there. That's an MTV special right there. By the way, the people dropped the contest last week. Wake Forest was the pick, a 7-point dog at Virginia Tech. Actually, no, wait a minute. They won that game.
Wake Forest won that game.
Wake Forest. The people got the win. So yes. We're sending somebody to
Our friend Hair Metal Henry.
Was that Hair Metal Henry?
Yes.
That was
Hair Metal
Henry. Way to go. The Deets.
Hair Metal.
Yeah, I wrote that down wrong. Wake Forest, people victory. Yeah. All right, week 7, Adam, then Chris, then D-Mace, then Hal. Chris is on the practice field, so he has given his picks in advance to David Jane. So let's start it off with Mr. Vingan, the bitter Adam Vingan.
I didn't want to wait until Saturday to see if I'm going to win or not. So I'm picking a game that takes place tomorrow. And I apologize to my sister, Alyssa, my older sister, Alyssa, a proud graduate of Tulane University. But I am going to pick the Pirates of East Carolina to go to New Orleans and defeat the Green Wave. Tulane, I have as a 6.5-point favorite. I will take ECU.
Okay.
The Pirates of East Carolina are a 6.5-point dog on the road at Tulane. Benson Field at Yulman Stadium in New Orleans. That game, by the way, will be televised on ESPN Thursday night.
Okay. Mm.
So I know what I'm doing. You will be multitasking.
I'll be at the Predators game.
Yes.
And checking I guess I'll have to do the multi-view.
You don't like the multi-view. You've already talked about that.
So I know.
Once it grabs you, it doesn't let go.
So East Carolina is on the board as Adam goes to the American Conference. Let's go to Chris Sanders now. I'm guessing, knowing that East Carolina was only a 6.5-point dog, I'm guessing Chris will have his first choice because that is not nearly a big enough dog for Chris Sanders. But let's see what the Buckeye
has. I guarantee you he picked Virginia Tech. Where you at, Chris? Where you at? We don't see you.
We're looking for you.
We're looking for you. Where you at?
Here I am, guys. Hey, somewhere on Chris Sanders right now.
Harding Road.
Exactly.
The land of the big red.
Chris, you lost all your hair, man.
And you changed colors.
Exactly.
All right. So you are correct, Willie. You know, Adam, I was really surprised you didn't pick any of Chris Sanders' picks, you know. But his first choice was there. It's Stanford over SMU. That's his first pick.
Stanford.
He loves the Stanford Cardinals.
I know CJ went to Stanford.
Okay.
Yeah, his son went to Stanford for a bit. I think that was the last school he was at. He ended up graduating from Stanford.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Stanford is a 19.5-point dog, as usual.
Yeah.
As they travel to Dallas to take on SMU. And Stanford plays in the
Atlantic Coast Conference.
Yes, Stanford, well known. Do you think kids these days are failing geography classes who are football fans going, wait a minute, no, Stanford's in the ACC, so where is Stanford? It must be in Georgia or South Carolina or Maryland.
Mm-mm, California.
Nope, it's in California. And, of course, SMU, very traditional member of the ACC as well.
Right on the Atlantic Coast in Dallas, Texas.
It's the All-Coast Conference. That's what it is.
Okay, so Stanford at SMU is the pick. That brings us to the leader in the competition.
Oh, yeah.
Derek Mason.
Give me my theme music. All right. I got to say this for Willie. I was going to go with North Carolina State over Notre Dame. That's where I was going to go, Willie.
Okay, so you're putting it on the record.
Yeah, put it on. Note that right there.
For the record, guys, the record. I would have chosen this guy.
But I am going with the one man that I think UT fears, Bobby Petrino.
And oh.
That's where I'm going. They upset him last year, but Petrino was not the head coach.
Okay.
He's the head coach now. We know one thing Petrino can do, score points. So you better be able to score points, and UT can, but don't have a misstep, because boy, oh boy, that will be the end. Prime upset, UT will lose to Arkansas, and I will gain my points.
Ooh,
wow.
Hey, don't forget, you marked down, I thought about Notre Dame.
Okay, I'll put that note. Okay. I'll put a little shamrock there. Arkansas is a 12.5-point dog on the road at Tennessee with Bobby Petrino at the helm. Good theater. I have not heard anybody buzzing about this game at all. So D-Mace is trying to ride the wave. He's been making some good calls. Mm-hmm. Do the Hogs have what it takes with the fire the coach bump? We'll see what happens.
And I'm not saying that they're better than UT, but I just think this is that game where Petrino steps back into that role and they become the winners.
Okay.
Will he wear the neck brace on the sideline?
I think that would be a nice touch.
For old time's sake.
All right. Have to make it red.
That he comes in with a motorcycle?
Ride it on a motorcycle. Ride through the tee with the motorcycle. That would really...
With a neck brace on.
Yeah. All right. We go to Hal Gill now. He has the final pick of week 7. Oh, we have a little switch. Whoa. A little switch of the theme song. I told
Changing
you.
The mojo, boys.
I told you.
Do I see some panic? Do I feel some panic in the air?
He's an original mass hole. That's why he's shipping up to Boston.
Just, you got to know when you're a mass hole, you got to go back to your roots, you know? If you're not hitting it right, you got to change it up. And a lot of times you got to go back to what got you here. And so I'm going back to Boston. And I'm going to go back to Boston with my pick, too.
Ooh.
I'm throwing it out there. Boston College, the Eagles, going to take it over from Clemson and ACC matchup. I take that. That's a big win, too. Willie, correct me if I'm wrong. Is that 13.5?
I've got 14.
Ooh.
14.
Ooh, you get that.
Boston College.
14 points on my plate, and I'm taking it back to Boston.
Well, you get 14. You're in second place, buddy.
BC.
That's what I'm looking for, D-Mate. I need a comeback. I'm changing the mojo. It's Christmas. What did you call it? A hockey eve?
Yeah, hockey eve.
It's hockey eve.
There's a lot
Nashville.
Going on, and things are turning around, and I'm feeling good mojo with this one, and I'm taking the Eagles.
All right, so Boston College is 1-4.
Mm-hmm.
They got smoked last week by Pittsburgh, 48-7. But Hal feels like coming back to Chestnut Hill, mm-hmm. playing at home as a 14-point dog against the embattled Clemson Tigers, is going to be the ticket.
So do you think, Hal, because this was a quick switch. This was a quick hook. It was a quick hook from his song. Usually when quick hooks come, somebody from above give you a little twist of the arm. So I wonder who gave Hal a little
was
twist
there a committee?
Arm.
Was there a push from the committee?
No, that was all me.
Okay.
That's just knowing when your game is off.
Okay.
I'm looking at you, Max Herz.
and you know what? I didn't get a lot of contribution from my therapy session on our text chain. I didn't get a lot of help, and so I'm going rogue on this one. This is my pick,
okay,
and it's my call, and that's the mass hole coming out of me, but it's coming, and that's what I'm going with. Sometimes you got to be true to you.
Were you recruited by Boston College at any point?
I was.
A little loyalty there.
Okay.
Dan Hasselbeck's brothers took over the quarterback position. There wasn't a lot of room for a guy like me. But I know they'd appreciate that pick, too.
All right. Alrighty. So let's review the picks quickly, and then we will have the people's pick on the other side. Adam Vinga with the first pick selects East Carolina, the Pirates, a 6.5-point dog at Tulane down in New Orleans. Chris Sanders on the practice field in the land of the Big Red, Montgomery Bell Academy. He selects the Stanford Cardinal, proud member of
the Atlantic Coast Conference.
They are a 19.5-point dog on the road at SMU, another proud member of the Atlantic Coast, Dallas, Texas style. Then Derek Mason, the leader in the competition, he'll select, shockingly, Arkansas, a 12.5-point dog. You can feel the hair on the back of the neck of the Big Orange fans, the faithful. Like, D-Mace picked against us? What's
Sue
going
me?
On? So D-Mace is calling the Hogs, and
calling
Bobby Petrino, 12.5-point dog on the road at Neyland Stadium against the Vols.
May I read a text from Ricky on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Give me what D-Mace is smoking.
Hey, you can't knock it. He's leading the competition. What does he know? Mm-hmm. We'll find out on Saturday. And then finally, Hal Gill selects going back to the roots. He went with shipping up to Boston. He goes to the ACC and selects the BC Golden Eagles. Boston College, a 14-point home dog. coming off a thrashing 48-7 last week on the road. They're looking for the rebound as they take on Clemson. Those are the picks for week number 7. The People's Pick is around the corner. Silly Underdog Picks rolls on 2025, presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Gentlemen, good luck.
Hey, guys. As I say every week, I wish y'all the best in life and health with your families. Love on each other. But I hope y'all lose, and I hope y'all lose bad, embarrassingly. Ooh, let's go. Let's go.
Now it's time for you to pick. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025. You will represent the people. Last week, our friend Hair Metal Henry won a pair of tickets to see Bryan Adams and Pat Benatar at Bridgestone Arena on Friday, November 7th, and you can join them. You can get your own pair of tickets to that concert if you call right now at 615-737-1025 and represent the people. We'll get that pick and wrap up the show next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.
Kane is in the building.
D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. A reminder that our Predators season preview show is coming up next from 5 to 7. Willie and I are going to stick around. Max Herz will join us. Andrew Burnett will join us. Hal Gill will join us again. Our favorite mass hole. I want to emphasize the M. And Pete Weber will join us as well. But it's time to get the People's Pick. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Richard. Richard, welcome to the competition. Your selection, please.
Arizona State over Utah.
Okay. Congratulations. Oh, not congratulations. It could be a congratulations. Thank you, Richard, for your pick.
That's a good pick. I can tell you that was on the radar.
It was on my radar.
On the Hal Gill. Although Max Herz has said he's been eliminated. From the he's still in the I feel like he's in there, but he says he's been excommunicated
from
the committee.
He's been shadow banned.
But I believe in our discussions on the I'm the commissioner. I just kind of observe what happens on Hal's committee. He considered Arizona State, so the people take it. Arizona State is officially. Arizona State is a...
I saw 5.5 earlier.
Where is it? There it is. 5.5-point dog at Utah. Arizona State still ranked 21st. The only loss they have to Mississippi State.
Which I picked.
Yes, you did.
Earlier this season. Mm-hmm. So, good luck, Richard.
Good luck to the people.
I gave you a premature congratulations. But
that'd
we'll
be a good
see.
Show to go to. Pat Benatar... And Bryan Adams. I wonder how Hair Metal Henry feels about that. That's not quite hair metal.
That's what I said last week.
But
it's not quite hair metal.
It's good rock though. Like Pat Benatar rocks. She is like super cool.
If you didn't think Pat Benatar was cool back then, something was wrong.
Exactly. Yeah. If you've seen the movie Fast Times at Ridgemont High,
yes.
How many people were dressed like they were
Pat Benatar?
Yeah, yes. The Pat Benatar lookalikes. It's like here's number one. Here's number two. That was some a good funny.
Are we talking over your head?
No, Fast Times at Ridgemont High
is
one of my favorite movies.
Okay.
Is one of my favorite movies. So, not talking over my head at all. But as I said, Derek gets to leave early. He gets to go home a little bit early. What are you going to do with your extra hour of free time?
Same thing I do when I get off at 6. Nothing. Go home. Look for sports. Watch some.
You can watch some baseball. You can watch some hockey.
Yeah, I'm going to watch some baseball, no doubt. Watch some hockey. I get to duel it.
Yes.
I get to duel.
On the multi-view.
The multi-view, yes. And if there's a third game, you know where it's going to be?
On the multi-view.
Thank you.
There you go. The Tigers are looking good, D-Mace. They're three outs away from forcing a game 5. They're up 8-3. Cubs have taken a 4-1 lead over the Brewers at Wrigley as they try to get back in that series. They're down 2-0.
But that'll do it for us today. We will be live at Bridgestone Arena tomorrow at 3 o'clock for the Predators season opener against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet will join us for the first time this season at 5 o'clock. But coming up next, Willie, myself, and Max Herz present the Predators official season preview show. We will talk to you tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
Be loved, love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful day. I love you. The team loves you. You hear the music. Don't you forget about us, because you know what? We will be back tomorrow right here on this channel. Love ya.